Morning. Well, it's morning for me. I'm just having my morning latte. If anyone is wondering, yes, I am still just as much in love with my espresso machine as I was when I got it. Actually, I'm more in love with it because we are just becoming more and more familiar with each other. And actually, now that I have my own espresso machine and I've been making so much lattes at home, whenever I have a latte anywhere else, I'm way more judgmental of it than I was before. Because before, any latte that I got at any coffee shop just was delicious. But now that I have my own latte or espresso machine, I'm making my own lattes, I feel like I have some more credibility. Like I'm able to distinguish different flavors, a tiny bit at least. And sometimes I'm like, well, this was actually not as good as a latte that I make at home. And that's a nice feeling because that means that you're getting pretty good lattes at home or espressos. How have you guys been? I have been traveling for a bit. I just got back home from Paris. And I have a lot of topics that I brought home with me from this trip, things that I would like to talk about. And I'm like, where do I begin? Because I was being pretty active on social media, on Instagram, as I was away, and I was interacting with you all quite a lot of messages, a lot of story stuff, and it was pleasant. And many of you wrote to me asking if I was traveling solo, if I have any advice on that. And I figured maybe we can start in that end today and talk about solo travel or just soloing overall and doing things by yourself and kind of my thoughts on that. And maybe I can share some advice because some of you are asking if I have any advice on going off by yourself. So I went to Paris for a couple days by myself. And let me start here. I've covered this a bit in I think a previous podcast or maybe a YouTube video where I said that after COVID and not traveling, because I did not travel at all for almost or over 2 years during the pandemic. I was staying at home, and as time passed, the mere thought of traveling became quite scary to me. Because when you don't do something in a long time, it becomes more and more foreign and intimidating. Whereas if you do something often or repeatedly, it becomes more comfortable to you. And so, as I was not traveling for a while, now 2 years is going to be a long time or a short time, depending on who you are. For me, not traveling for 2 years is quite some time. So I became more and more uncomfortable with the thought of going away. And I think that was one sign that I felt the universe was trying to give me, where I felt like I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to be uncomfortable doing anything really. And I don't want to be uncomfortable just thinking about traveling, because there are places that I want to go and things that I want to see and explore and experience. And so it was quite a wake-up call when I realized how the thought of traveling had become very uncomfortable for me. And so I went to Barcelona a few weeks ago and it went okay. And then when I got back home, I was already feeling this desire to go away again. And this time I wanted to go solo because I wanted to step out of my comfort zone and not only travel, but also do it alone. Now, I think that when you do anything alone, there are a lot of things that a lot of parts of you that get activated that aren't necessarily activated when you are doing things with other people. So when you are doing things by yourself, You are fully responsible for everything. You need to pay attention to everything. You cannot rely on anyone else to give you directions or make sure you got everything with you or anything. You are the main character and you're the only character when you are doing stuff solo. And so that was, I guess, one of the reasons why I decided to go by myself, just to get out of my comfort zone, really. And now traveling went well. I landed, got to my hotel, and I felt uncomfortable. When I got there, I kind of thought, why am I here and why am I doing this alone? You know, it's a new country, a new city, a language that I don't comprehend, can't really speak other than a few words. And all of a sudden, this wave of discomfort hit me for some reason. And so I stayed in my hotel for a little bit before deciding to go anywhere to kind of collect myself. I'm not sure what it was that brought the discomfort. I guess I just felt like, yeah, I was out of my comfort zone. That's the only way to put it, really. And as a woman traveling alone, you also need to take other things into consideration. Like, can I wear this? Is this skirt too short? Is this going to bring unnecessary attention? And what is the culture like here? What are the norms? What are the men like? Do people approach you? Is that common? Is it uncommon? Do people leave you alone most of the time? Do people stare? Do they mind their own business? You don't really know when you're going somewhere alone. And I'm sure as a man, you have to think about other things that you have to take into consideration. But as a woman, it mostly, I think, regards safety and what to wear, what not to wear, and what areas to go to and not go to and whatnot. And so I remember I put on a dress and then I felt uncomfortable in that dress. And then I put on a skirt and I felt uncomfortable wearing a skirt. And I had all these thoughts. Maybe some of them were just mind ghosts and not really based on anything, but just discomfort and feeling a bit anxious. Anyway, I decided on an outfit and I went out and I strolled around the city. And as time went by, I felt more and more comfortable with some interruptions. So when you go somewhere alone, again, you are in charge. You decide where to go, what you want to do. No one is going to give you their input or ideas. And I really went there with just an open mind, not really planning it too much. I was kind of thinking, I'm just going to go where the wind takes me. And I know some people say, or some people wrote to me, well, don't you feel uncomfortable like dining alone? And honestly, not really, especially when I'm abroad. So my first pit stop as I went out was to go and grab some lunch. So I went there, sat by myself, had a lunch, and I was not the only one being alone having lunch. You know, especially when you're alone, you become more observant because there's literally nothing else to do. It's not like you're talking to anyone. You're just people watching and thinking and reflecting and noticing stuff. And so I noticed there were other people who were eating alone too. And I was eating alone. And I didn't feel uncomfortable doing that. And this is going to depend on where you are too, right? Like if you are living somewhere where people stare a lot or where there is this culture of just being with other people all the time, maybe being alone, eating alone, is going to feel very awkward and weird for you. But I think in many parts of, I don't know, I guess Europe, especially the Nordic countries, I can speak for that because I live in Sweden, doing stuff solo, like we're kind of solo people. So it's not strange in that sense. And I did not feel like it was strange in Paris either, because for all the places that I went, I noticed that there were multiple people doing what I was doing, being solo as well. So that also makes you feel more comfortable being alone. You don't feel like you're the odd one out. Now, dining alone or doing anything alone versus doing it with other people is very different. Like when you are doing things by yourself, you are, or for me, it's mostly kind of, how do I put this? Yeah, you're just going where the wind takes you. You're stopping on the way. You're really following your own intuition and your emotions. Like if you're feeling thirsty, you just, you know, take a quick pit stop and go into the store and grab an orange juice. And then you feel like going to a store and you just go into the store, and then you're hungry and you go and eat, and you watch other people and you observe your surroundings more than you do if you are with someone, because you need to be more observant and pay more attention to what is happening around you. So in one sense, I feel like when you're doing things alone, all of your senses are kind of heightened. Versus when you are with someone, you kind of get lost in conversation, in planning stuff together, and talking about what you're going to do next. And your focus is not really on the surroundings as much as it is the other person, because you're hanging out with someone. And that comes with its pros and cons, right? Like you can definitely sit there and have lunch by yourself and feel like, this is so boring. I wish I could talk to someone right now. Or maybe you see something interesting and you're like, oh, I wish I was with someone who I could share this with. So I don't want to make it seem like being alone or doing things alone, traveling alone is only fun and amazing. Like there were moments where I was like, I'm kind of getting bored right now. Like I kind of wish I could show this to someone or have this conversation with someone. Like, let's say if I were seeing something interesting, and sure, there is some joy in kind of analyzing situations by yourself and observing them by yourself, but sometimes you want to share those observations with other people and discuss them with a friend or whatever. So yeah, not trying to over romanticize doing stuff solo or traveling solo. There is absolutely a time and place for both. And, you know, doing things with another human being is its own experience. And it's just different. It just depends on what you are looking for. So if you're looking to go somewhere and have fun and have good conversation and creating memories with someone that you can look back on and talk about later, you should not be going solo. But if you are kind of just looking to do your own thing and maybe step out of your comfort zone and get to know yourself and observe your surroundings, then I think solo is the way to go. I do think that one of the biggest downsides of traveling solo is that you can't really talk about the memories with anyone because no one was there. I think that is the main thing that kind of sucks, because all the travels that I've done or all the experiences that I've done with other people, you know, we still look back on them and laugh or cringe or just talk about it and we reminisce together and it's a good time. When you're soloing, there isn't really anyone to do that with. Sure, you can show people photos and tell them, but they weren't there. It's not a shared experience. So that is definitely something that I feel like I miss when I do things alone. Like having someone that you can look back on it with together. That was a weird sense. Okay, so we cover the dining solo experience. Another thing that is, depending on how you look at it, different when you're soloing is that people are probably more likely to approach you. So as I was deciding on what to wear, if we backtrack for a bit, feeling uncomfortable in a dress and in a skirt, before I went to eat lunch, I went to a park because I was initially going to eat there, but they did not have anything vegetarian. And that's why I went to a different spot to have lunch. I went to a park I think it's called Jardin du Luxembourg. And still kind of finding myself and what I felt was comfortable. And a man was kind of lingering around me. And it was a very crowded place, but I noticed he was kind of lingering, looking at me, walking away, looking at me. And he then approached me and tried to spark a conversation. And that made me more uncomfortable because I felt like I had just been contemplating this whole what to wear. Do I feel safe in this? Is this appropriate situation? And then 10, 15 minutes later, I was being approached by someone who wasn't being appropriate. Now, this is going to be something that I'm going to talk about in a different podcast episode, but I want to briefly touch on this because it has to do with traveling solo. People are more likely to approach you, and you are probably more likely to be uncomfortable when people approach you because you are all by yourself. So as for this man approaching me, it would have been okay, I think, if he had just come up, said something, noticed my body language very clearly, and then walked away. But the thing that I notice, which again, we will talk about later, but I kind of want to share with you how I deal with this if you're planning on traveling solo, is that, first of all, when you are traveling solo or doing things solo, you are more cautious when strangers approach you, especially when you're in a country where you don't know anyone. So you're all by yourself and someone is approaching you and, you know, your first instinct is not really, oh, do I enjoy this? Is this person, do they seem decent? Am I attracted to them? Do I want to move forward with this conversation? Your first instinct is kind of to put your guard up and protect yourself from any potentially uncomfortable or worse situation. You kind of just want to escape it. And so when this man approached me, the way that I handled it, and this happened multiple times, again, we will talk about this another time. The way I approached it was to, first of all, take a few steps back and keep walking slowly as you're kind of trying to end the conversation. Because unfortunately, one thing that I notice when people approach you on the street, oftentimes, and I'm just speaking from the perspective of a woman having a man approach you, is that they will just come too close, uncomfortably close. When you're approaching a stranger, you shouldn't be getting into their personal space. There's this thing called personal space. I think if you Google it, there are even illustrations of it, like what is considered personal space. And oftentimes when someone, in my case, a man, will approach me, they're getting way too close. And just there, you are immediately uncomfortable. And so you take a few steps back, and sometimes they will follow you. Oftentimes, as you take a step back, they will come closer. Definitely not reading the room and taking the very clear hint if you know anything about people's body language. And then, because you don't want to be rude, because maybe they're just a cool person, just thinking you're cute and wanting your number or whatever. So you don't necessarily want to be rude, but you also want to be or make it clear that you're not interested. And that is always a bit of a tricky situation as a woman. So I was taking a few steps back. He kept coming forward. I, you know, started slowly walking away from him while kind of not really responding to him anymore. I think he started speaking French and I was just like, okay. And then I walked, kind of started walking away. And he walked after me for just a little bit and then he stopped and I took a few steps to the other way. I was filming something. This park was beautiful. And now another thing that is unfortunately very common is that the person who approaches you continues to linger around you. And it is very, I don't even know what the word for it is. It's inappropriate. It's uncomfortable. It's weird. I don't know. It's it's a very strange sort of approach when the person has been rejected and they keep lingering around you. And that was what this man was doing. And so I just felt like my time at the park was kind of meh at this point. So I just left and that was it. Point being, when you're traveling alone, again, I can only speak from a woman's experience and what we often deal with. Men deal with different things. I cannot speak for that. You kind of need to be prepared to be approached much more when you're alone than when you are in the company of someone. Obviously, especially if you are in the company of a man, then no one is really going to approach you. But yeah, be firm without being rude, unless it's necessary. Hopefully it doesn't get to that point, but if it does, don't be afraid to be firm. Yeah, going off of that, other things to think of, because I think women in particular are afraid to travel solo. I've seen so many groups and forums of women looking for suggestions of places that you can travel alone as a female, how to stay safe, how to avoid uncomfortable situations. And the best that you can do is obviously be observant of your surroundings. You know, don't get caught up in your bubble thinking that you're living in this movie where everything is fine and every character around you is a good person. You need to be aware of your surroundings, not to the point where it becomes like you can still enjoy yourself and do your thing and be present while also keeping an eye out for your surroundings. So the point is that don't get caught up in your bubble. Keep looking around the way that you would do really anywhere. I think the same rules kind of apply anywhere you go, even in your own home country. You just happen to be more familiar with how things work around where you live. Whereas when you're abroad, you don't really know the norms. You don't really know how people act and behave and what the deal is. So be more observant of your surroundings. Try to walk in places where it's crowded, where there are more people. Don't take any detours in, you know, dark, empty alleys where there are no people or just a couple people. Beware of the neighborhoods that you're going to. So I remember I was in Barcelona and I found this store that I wanted to go to. And so I looked it up on Google Maps and I was by myself at that point. And I was like, oh, cool. I want to go to this store. And I think it was like a 30-minute walk. And so I started walking there all by myself. It was pretty late. I think it was like, yeah, maybe 7 p.m. But the streets were still crowded. And so I felt okay. I started walking there. And as I was like 3 minutes away from the store, the map was taking me through this like dark street where there were like a couple people that looked kind of sketchy. And the whole street, I don't know, it was a sketchy vibe. It wasn't like the route changed. It went from being like walking for 25 minutes on an open street with people and cars and lovely stuff. And then the last couple of minutes before getting to the store felt weird and looked weird. And so if you're in a situation like that, what I did, I went back. I decided not to walk those last 3 or 4 minutes to get to the store because I got a weird feeling and the street just felt uncomfortable to me. And so you kind of need to trust your gut. And even if you have been walking somewhere or whatever the situation is, if something starts feeling weird, just don't go there. Don't do it. It's not worth it. Even if maybe that street was fine, but I don't know it's fine. I don't live there. It's all new to me. And so I decided to just not go. The point is that trust your intuition. And if something looks sketch or feels kind of weird, whether that's a street or a person or the person working at the store, whoever it is, wherever it is, if something doesn't feel right, don't go there and go back. Obviously, don't walk around alone when it's dark at night. When you're soloing, always have a charge on your phone. Keep a power bank in case your battery dies so you can charge it. Always make sure people know where you are. So send them your location or keep your location on with the Finding Friends app on the iPhone. If you're going in an Uber or a taxi, send the info to someone that you trust, someone back home. Make sure just people know where you are. I think that's very important. What else is important to keep track of or keep in mind when you're solo traveling as a female? Obviously, don't get intoxicated. No alcohol or drugs. You want to be sharp. You want to be present. You want to be there. Another thing maybe that is more, that I think is important to talk about as women, is that we often feel, you know, we kind of feel, we don't want to be rude. We don't want to, like, as women, we're nurturing. And so we, sometimes it can feel difficult saying no or walking away because we don't want to come across a certain way. Don't think about that. Not saying there's a reason to be rude out of the blue, but also there's no need to laugh when something isn't funny. Like if a stranger comes up to you and starts talking to you and, you know, when you get that uncomfortable laugh, not necessary. Try to keep that away. Be firm. And don't be afraid to just walk away. And don't look lost. Obviously, when you are in a new city, you are lost. But don't look like you're too lost. Confidence is key. So look confident. Even if you're not confident as a person, this is a time to practice your confident walk, your confident facial expression, and your confident body language. I think those are the main things. I don't want this to scare people off because my point here is not to tell you to walk around and be having your guard up all the time and staring at your surroundings and being super scared every step that you take. But you just need to be aware. You need to be paying attention as you're enjoying yourself and as you're doing the things that you want to do as you're traveling. I want to keep you guys safe, okay? Okay. Besides all that, how do you just feel comfortable when you are traveling by yourself? How do you just walk around, sit at a cafe, take a photo, and not feel weird? The more you do it, the more comfortable you will feel. And this is how it is with everything in life. So let's say you think it's awkward taking photos of yourself when you're by yourself in public. The more you take photos of yourself, the more comfortable you will feel. Let's say you think dining by yourself is awkward. The more you do it, the more comfortable you will feel. Let's say asking a stranger for directions is awkward to you. The more you do it, the more comfortable you will feel. So the only advice that I have in terms of how to break out of your shell and get on the other side of discomfort is to just keep tackling it and keep going towards it again and again and again. And eventually, you're going to notice how things are becoming easier and easier and less intimidating. So you just have to decide that even if this thing feels uncomfortable right now, I'm just going to do it this once. And you're going to see that nothing happens. No one cares. No one is staring you out. People are minding their own business. If people are staring at you, they're honestly just curious or envious. Like when I see someone vlogging openly in public and their body language is confident, I admire that person. If I stare at them, it's not because I think they're being embarrassing or weird. I stare at them because I'm like, wow, how did you get to that point? How are you just walking around all confident and comfortable, doing your thing, not giving a shit about anyone around you? How? I admire that person. And I'm also curious. I'm like, what are you doing? Do you have a YouTube channel? What is it about? What is it called? So it's a mix of admiration and curiosity. The same thing goes for when, like, I was walking past a coffee shop and this guy, he was very dressed up, looking very handsome, and he was doing something on his phone, and I noticed that he was placing it in a way to where he could take a selfie. He was by himself. And then when he noticed me looking at him, he took his phone away. Like, my guess is that he got uncomfortable because someone caught him being alone, taking a selfie of his coffee, whatever. It's 2022. No one cares. But I remember thinking that, like, when you display discomfort the way that that guy did, that's when people around you may think that you're being awkward. Like, when you notice that someone is intentionally trying to hide something because they're uncomfortable and they feel scared and embarrassed, that's when you kind of become embarrassed with them. You know what I mean? Whereas when you see someone doing it, being careless and confident, you're like, wow. You don't feel that discomfort because they're not feeling the discomfort. So it's kind of like a mirror. When someone is confidently, I don't know, having lunch by themselves or confidently filming themselves, vlogging themselves, you don't think anything of it other than being curious and admiring them. Whereas again, if you see someone being awkward, shy, scared, self-cautious, it kind of makes you feel that way too about the whole situation. So my point is that if you're going to do it, might as well do it and trust that it's going to become easier and easier. And I'm not just saying this to you. I mean, I'm saying this to myself as much as well. Like, I hate vlogging in public. I always feel embarrassed and awkward. And I think people are staring at me, judging me, laughing behind my back. But no one is, right? No one is. It's just a mind ghost. So practice, practice, practice is the best advice that I can give. What else can I share about solo travel? Let me see, actually, if you guys have any questions. I'm going to post a little story on my Instagram to see if you guys have any questions about solo travel that I can bring up on this episode. All right, I'm back. I did some laundry while waiting for some questions to pop in. So let's answer some questions about solo travel, doing stuff alone, all that good stuff. If you want to participate in stuff like this, don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Lana Blakely. Okay. Is budgeting for a solo travel harder than traveling with a companion? I actually think it's much easier when you're solo traveling because you don't really have to take other people into consideration. And also, depending on who you're traveling with, sometimes things can get a bit awkward, where it's like, okay, how do we split this? Should I treat you for this? You treat me for next time? And, you know, that whole situation, that can sometimes get a bit weird. When you're alone, you obviously don't want to think about that. You're just paying for yourself. And also, it's easier because you don't have to really take anyone else's budget into consideration. You know, if you're traveling with someone, you kind of have to have that conversation to make sure you are on the same page, where, you know, where you can eat, where you can stay, what activities you can go to, so that you don't want to go and eat at a Michelin star restaurant because you can afford it, while your friend can't afford it, so they're going to want a sandwich at the grocery store. So when you're soloing, you don't really have to think about all of that. You're just doing the things that you can afford, and so therefore I think it's easier. I just had the best trip to the UK. Now I feel sad and depressed being back. Any tips? To be honest, I'm also kind of sad being back from my little solo trip, and I'm already tempted to look at another trip. I can definitely see how when you start going away and doing things that you enjoy, it can become a little bit addicting, and maybe a little bit of an escape. I think just instead of, you know, feeling sad and looking at it negatively, I think what I'm just doing right now is kind of reliving the experience and looking at photos and thinking about the things that I liked, things that I did not like, things that I would like to change for my next trip, or just look forward to something different. And you don't feel like, you know, the travel has just ended. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm just kind of looking back, reflecting a little bit, taking a few lessons here and there, and looking forward to my next adventure. Someone says, how to deal with the anxiety of not knowing the language. Honestly, language is like the scariest thing when it comes to traveling, like not understanding what people are saying and not being able to speak it. I mean, obviously make sure that you're going somewhere where you are able to communicate somehow. Like now when I went to France, you know, French people, I think they're known for wanting to speak French. Even if you are speaking English, they kind of respond to you in French, although they know you have no idea what they're saying. But I think there's also something to be said for just the universal human language. Like, we can communicate without really communicating verbally. We can use our body. We have our phones. There's Google Translate. I remember there was this guy stopping me on this trip trying to explain something to me. I had no idea what he was saying. I was speaking in French. And so he pulled up his phone and sentence by sentence, he translated what he was trying to say. And it works. You know, luckily we're living in a time where things like that are easy. And also, as much as it may be scary, you know, being somewhere where you don't understand what's being said, it's also kind of fun. You know, it's something charming. There's something charming about not really knowing what's going on and trying to figure things out and trying to adjust and doing your best to fit in and to learn and to be able to communicate with other people. You know, things that are new and foreign, sure, can be scary, but can also be exciting and fun, kind of depending on how you look at it. But if you feel like you're taking your first solo trip, maybe go somewhere where you can speak the language. So if you're speaking English, go to a country where you know that people speak English well, for example. How do you take pictures of yourself? This was a fun one. There was a lot of trial and error and a lot of just exploring different ways of going about it. I think the beautiful thing about many European cities is that the architecture is amazing, and the way that there are so many moldings and, you know, little spots where you can kind of push your phone into, you know, the outside of a building and have it stay there so that you can take a selfie on like self-timer, or you can film yourself. So that is one way, just finding little spots where you can put your phone and it'll take, or it'll stay there as you take your photo. Another way is obviously asking strangers. This one is also going to depend on kind of what your gut is telling you, and if someone looks like they would be up for it, or if they would just snatch your phone and run away. You obviously don't want that to happen. But, you know, if you're seeing like an old couple or like someone who's with their mom, I don't know, like people who look nice and decent, you know, I don't think anyone is going to judge you for asking them to take a photo. I asked the person at the hotel, he was working at the reception. I was like, can you film me as I walk into the hotel and as I walk out of the hotel? Was it awkward? Yeah, but he was up for it and it was okay. And that was something fun that I can look back on. If you want to carry around the tripod, obviously carry around the tripod. Gorilla pods are pretty good because you can kind of tangle them around stuff and they will stay there. But just get creative. Be on the lookout for spots where you can just place your phone or your camera, and obviously be aware so that no one snatches it. Another little fun story was that when I was sitting outside a store, there was a bench there, and I was sitting there and I placed my camera on the table next to me so that it was recording me as I was just kind of sitting there. And this French guy walked past me and he was like upset. He was like, don't do that. Don't do that. I was like, don't do what? He was like, don't put your camera like that. It's very risky. Someone could take it. Like, he kind of got mad at me for taking that risk. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'll put it away. So, yeah, pay attention to your surroundings again so that no one steals your stuff. Ooh, this is a really good one. How do you look confident without actually feeling it? Honestly, you just have to embrace the persona of someone who's confident. Like, there's no other way around it. When you're by yourself, if you're traveling by yourself, as I mentioned before, that's even more important to look confident. Like, you know what you're doing, where you're going. Think of someone who you think radiates confidence and try to just adopt their energy, their whatever it is that you admire about that person, and just act like how you think they would act. Honestly, it's kind of a fake it till you make it situation. Obviously, straighten yourself, look ahead, don't look down. Yeah, fake it till you make it. Pretend like you're someone who's super confident and don't overthink the things that you are insecure about that make you less confident. Just decide that you are. And then when you get back to the hotel or whatever, you can be like, whew, that was exhausting. And then you can go back to hunching and not feeling confident again and working on it. But it's important to look confident when you're out by yourself. Are you ever anxious about your safety? Do you have any tips to solo travel with peace of mind? I talked about this already, so I don't think I have a lot more to add to that, but maybe we can do like a quick recap. Be confident, or pretend to be confident, and this is all about body language. You can look up so many things on body language online, on how to look confident. Look like you know what you're doing. Don't walk in shady areas. Be nice, but be firm if someone approaches you. Don't be afraid to say no. Make sure that at least one person, preferably more people, always know where you are, what you're doing, when you're coming home. Send them pictures of the places that you're visiting. Don't get intoxicated. As a woman, pay more attention to what you're wearing. Yeah, unfortunately, we're still there. If something is making you feel uncomfortable, where you feel like people are staring, and you don't want to deal with that, the only way may be to just wear something less revealing. I know, it fucking sucks. So many of these questions are about feeling secure and feeling safe as a female traveling solo. It's very sad. It does break my heart so much that we have to deal with this crap. Okay, I think we will end it there. Obviously, there are so many other people who are traveling solo, who are living in their van solo, and they're all females. I think you can find so many people on YouTube and maybe on Instagram to get advice from. I am absolutely not like a major solo female traveler by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just sharing the little experience that I have, but I hope it was helpful. And I hope this episode did not scare you off or put you off in a way, because I know we talked a lot about safety and being careful. I think it's important to keep an open mind and to know that most people are good people. Most people are helpful. Most people are nice. Most people would intervene if something were to happen. We just need to be present, I think. All right. Long episode. Thank you for listening. I really enjoyed having you here and sharing this hour-ish with you. And I'll talk to you again next week. All right.